This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for KingdomOfTheGiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 7th of February, 2017, and my name's Patrick Smith. Hello, everybody. A great weekend once again for the Belfast Giants. Not only that Challenge Cup victory in the first leg of the semi-final in Cardiff, but a four-point weekend on the road in Scotland. We've got Davey and Sizz coming along in just a moment to talk all about the activities. We also have an interview with Derek Walser and with Stephen Murphy. But we'll look at your TFAs and all the likes. But we have to deal with the elephant in the room first of all. Of course, one of the main talking points over the last week or so were activities that took place before the game in Cardiff. Well, you know, we're not ones to stand in any sort of, try to hold any sort of grudge. We want to reach out to our Celtic cousins across the water, and we'll do just that. Board. Any complaints, just send them to podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Welcome to the show, and I'm joined this week, as it was last week, by Mr. David McGimsey. How are you, sir?
I'm okay, Paddy. That was asking for a diplomatic incident here, aren't we? I hope the First Minister of Wales doesn't have her finger on the nuclear button.
do Wales have nukes? Anyway, and also joining us, Mr. Simon Kitchen. How are you, mate?
Good evening, gents. How are you both?
Does anybody know hello in Welsh? No.
Hello.
Okay. Wow, we're really pushing it here, aren't we? Right, we've got a great show ahead of us. We're going to look at the three games that took place just since we last spoke. We got your TFAs. We'll hear from Stephen Murphy and from Derek Walser. And we'll look ahead to what is going to be a very interesting week ahead for the Belfast Giants, not least tomorrow night, Wednesday night, against said Cardiff Devils. But let's get stuck in. And we'll start with last Wednesday's game against the Cardiff Devils. It was the first leg of the semi-final at Ice Arena Wales. And Cardiff started off pretty quickly with two goals from Hotham and Fournier before Colin Shields on the power play was able to peg one back. Guillaume Doucet in the second period restored that two-goal advantage before Chris Higgins with a lovely move close in on bounds made it 3-2. Martin restored that two-goal lead again before Colin Shields, Brandon Benedict, and then Jim van der Meer were able to go 3-4 and 5 to make it 5-4 at the end of the game. Dean Smith was your referee. Jackson Whistle was in goal for the Belfast Giants. He made 21 saves from 25 shots. And Ben Bounds, 17 saves from 22 shots. And first things first, gentlemen, the anthems. Now, I said we'd address the elephant in the room straight away. For those that maybe were living under a rock at the time and or maybe don't frequent social media or anybody Welsh on social media, Derek Walser came in for a bit of mocking / Welsh outrage when in the middle of the anthem he skated off and round the net, sparking booing from the Cardiff crowd and abuse from all night long. Having watched it a few times, Davey, I'll start with you. I can see why they were upset.
But 100%, I understand, Paddy. And when it was happening, Sizz and myself were standing up in the gantry, they're looking at each other going, what's he doing here? But, you know, it got himself in deep by that stage. You know, he had gone round. He's obviously thought there's 5 seconds in this hem left or whatever here. And then when he skated around maybe the blue line, he's, oh my goodness, it's going to finish any second. It's going to finish any. You know, one of those ones, you got to make a decision. They just sort of hold my hands up and stop where I am, or it's going to end any second. And I think by that stage, he was just in so deep. I'm just going to have to ride this wave out here. And he got it badly wrong. He apologized straight away. I guarantee you, we spoke to him after the game. No harm meant by it. Obviously, as just I said there, I think he just got himself into a bad situation that just he couldn't at that point work a way of getting himself out of it. And it didn't look good. It was bad. But as I say, he took his medicine and he apologized, held his hands up straight afterwards. There's a tweet out within 30 minutes of the game ending. As soon as the social media blackout had ended, he had a tweet up. You know, you're not allowed to tweet within a certain period of time after the game ended. As soon as that was up, the first thing he did was tweet an apology to Cardiff Devils and the fans. So fair play to him for that.
Of course, he received a 10-minute misconduct on 0 minutes and 0 seconds from referee Dean Whistle, says. And, you know, the little girl who was singing Beth, you know, there was, where did she, was hearing the booing and not understanding what was going on. He, like I say, the guys who were on Ice Time TV were apoplectic. I think Alid especially was apoplectic. But then on reflection, when you heard them talk about it in the period break, the, especially when Todd Kelman was on, they were laughing about it quite a bit. And when you look back, and I've looked at it a few times, and every time I see it, I actually laugh at it.
Yeah, you know what? I think it might pop up on A Question of Sport in a couple of years' time, and what happened next, you know. And you know, Davey's 100% right. We were just looking at each other, and then looking at Derek skate away, and look back at each other, and it was like slow motion. And I'm sure he, you know, again, I have absolutely no doubt he didn't mean any harm by it. And he genuinely thought the anthem was finishing. And, you know, do you know what, Paddy? I had just mentioned to Davey that I love the Welsh national anthem.
Yeah.
I just love the passion that the Welsh guys go out and the way they sing it and how proud they are of the national anthem. But when that happened and Derek started skating and he went out and did his two wee toe picks in the centre ice circle, which he does every single game. And he leaves just before, you know, the anthem's finished. But when he started skating around behind the net, and Davey and I are still looking at each other going, what's he doing? It was comical. Again, fair play to Derek for holding his hands up and saying he was in the wrong and he apologised. And the Cardiff Devils Twitter page immediately put up thank you in Welsh and accepted the apology. You know, Todd, again, we don't know what was said on the Ice Time TV in between periods, but I mean, we'd spoke to Todd in between the first and second, and you know, he was saying like, I don't think he's meant anything bad. I just thought he thought that the anthem was finishing. So it's one of them things where I think he did the right thing, apologized straight away. It's over and done with as far as we're concerned. I don't think certain other people are going to let it lie, and you know, it was. He went out, after he got out of the penalty box, I thought he was absolutely perfect.
Huh.
Yeah, it did cause a social media storm. Let's get to the game. Davey, it was a 2-0 down. We had to come back three times from a 2-goal deficit for what was a fantastic performance and a hard-fought win.
Fantastic performance, hard-earned win. Well put. An absolutely superb game of hockey. As a Belfast Giants fan, as a Cardiff fan, and I'm sure if there was any neutrals watching on Ice Time TV as well, a great spectacle of the game, and played in, it was a very chippy game as well. So it was that kind of old school. You know what you're going to get in Cardiff. They're a monster. They come out and they come at you and they have that passionate crowd, and the crowd were even lit up more than usual due to what happened, you know, pre-game. And every time Walser touched the puck, the boos were echoing around the arena. But I think Walser took that and it even upped his game even more. He was superb on the night, but you know, 2-0 down. You're up against it in Cardiff, and we somehow, and we've done it over the last number of games. I think that was, you know, it was the middle of 3, 5, 4 games in a row where we've had to come from a couple of goals behind in each. And it just shows the fortitude that the team has. You know, they've got that belief that let's not panic. And I think you go even later in the game when Joey Martin got that buzzer beater to put them 4-2 up. It's a case of when you go in the locker room here and settle ourselves down, 4-2 is not a disaster. And then it becomes 4-3 and you think, well, going a goal down, very good. Then it becomes 4-8, and you're thinking, my goodness, we're getting back to the SSE. We've got out of jail here because we're 4-2 down away from home against a very, very good team. Make no mistake about that. And then Vandermeer pops up for an absolute smashing goal with less than a minute to go on the clock. And all of a sudden we're returning home with an advantage, which was at various points through the night, very unlikely looking just due to we're playing an outstanding hockey team. Cardiff Devils have led the league, you know, virtually from day one. And they are a good, good side. And tomorrow night is going to be a difficult, difficult game. This game is not over by any means. We've got a slight advantage, and it was a hard-earned win. And that is what did it. Hard work. Some of the stuff that go on, we'll go into more detail if you want, but like like Martinelli, for example, getting involved physically on the night. Jim van der Meer, so patient, so calm and composed. And the leaders on this team on the night led absolutely superb. It was a really, really good performance from both teams. Go back to what I said at the start, that both teams put on a real spectacle for the fans.
Says, let's come to like, pick up a few people. Colin Shields was the man of the match. The game with two goals, and Jackson Whistle in the Giants net. Two players that really stood out. And what was an all round great performance?
It was, again, there were some real fantastic individual performances. You know, Davies touched on Martinelli. There was one stage where, you know, I actually thought, to be honest, the game was sort of ruined a wee bit because of the officials. I thought that Dean Smith had an absolute mare, and the penalties that he called, there was one or two of them sitting, Dave and I again looked at each other and went, nah, that's not a call. And that's both for Giants and for the Cardiff penalties. And there was incidents that happened on the ice that you could understand that if Tom Darnell was refereeing, that you could say, right, okay, he's let that go because of that. But Dean Smith was horrendous. You know, he didn't get much help from Alinos, in fairness. I thought Matt Rose had a real stinker as well. There was a call on Matt Mars late in the third period for roughing, I think it was, on against Mike Quinnell. Smith's skating towards the penalty box to call the penalty, and Matt Rose comes over, whispers something in his ear, and all of a sudden Quinnell, who was already sitting on the bench, was called off the bench and given a 2-minute minor as well, which Davey and I just went, he didn't do anything wrong. So I thought that the referee really did attempt to spoil a very, very good game of hockey. But you touched on Jackson Whistle, Paddy. He was brilliant. Some of the saves he pulled off, he'd no right to pull off. You know, Sheds had a great game. Van der Meer was outstanding. I thought Mark Garside again, you know, we've talked about him on numerous occasions. Garce was brilliant. It just makes other people around him better. You've got Mike Forney, who basically did very well. Blair Riley was... I actually think it'd be easier to probably pick out somebody who didn't perform. Because that's how good we... I mean, Paddy, we were down three times by two goals.
Yeah.
2-0, 3-1, 4-2. And we kept on coming back. We never give up. And that's one of the things that the Giants have really brought into their game. Davies touched on being 2-0 down against Cardiff. We were also 2-0 down against Brayhead, which we'll go on to talk about. We were 2-0 down against Sheffield the week before. And we've scored five goals now, and at least five goals in the last five or six games. So we're going in the right direction. Davies, again, I think he's right in what he's saying with regards, you know, this tie is not over, because Cardiff Devils are a very good hockey team. But so are the Belfast Giants.
The Giants had six power play opportunities, scored two goals. The Devils had four power play opportunities, scored one goal. One of the goals to pick out as well from the Devils side, Davey, was that Joey Martin one right on the buzzer to restore that two-goal lead for them, especially going into the third period. Probably was a bit of a body blow to the Giants, but they were able to recover.
It'll be one that Derek Walter will have looked at the videotape again and again, and probably from a hockey, pure hockey point of view, be pulling his hair out, because, you know, the Giants are on the power play. Says is always, this is one of his personal bugbears, and he'll probably come back on this, that when a player is just about to come out of the box, you have to be a bit more defensively responsible. And we left Foster on his own on the point. They broke away as Matt Maher steps out of the penalty box. Okay, that's that. He hasn't ended up scoring, but Joey Martin drives at a forward defending and manages to put Foster off balance and go past him and score with point one of a second left. It was a body blow, but it's one of those ones the Belfast Giants should probably be controlling the clock a bit better, and knowing that there's only seconds to go and somebody's about to come out of the box, and we just control it in the Devil's end and see the clock through. But, you know, ultimately it didn't affect the outcome of the game. But you know, Joey Martin can go from coast to coast in, as you've seen, seconds, 3-4 seconds, and it was the back of our net. And probably one of the only things that Jackson Whistle on the night would like to have maybe another go up, because he gets beat there from an outside shot that he would normally save. And he was exceptional on the night. Some of the saves he had no right making. And whenever Sizz is saying there about us being 2-0 down, 3-1 down, 4-2 down, Whist kept us in the game and gave us the ability to mount that comeback. And even towards the end of the game there, when it was 4-each, he comes up with an unbelievable, maybe a couple of saves, in the last couple of minutes of the game, we get the power play, go on and win the game. So that was built on good goaltending, good defense, good forwards, good transition, just everything about the performance. And I would say from probably the Cardiff Devils will be slightly more disappointed, obviously, they got beat, but from having those winning positions, the sort of surrender, and then that might just put a little bit of doubt in the mind creeping forward there over the last few weeks, especially at home, they've given up a few leads.
Well, let's get on to tomorrow, or the Wednesday night. It is tomorrow night as we record this, of course, but let's have a quick consideration for Wednesday night's second leg. It says, taking that one goal advantage back to the SSE against a team who have been proven to be able to come from situations where they are behind this weekend. They've done it twice against the Nottingham Panthers and against the Manchester Storm. So still a dangerous side going into the SSE. What are you expecting tomorrow night from the Cardiff Devils?
I think it'll be more of the same, Paddy. You know, they have to come at us. You know, they're a goal down. I think they'll be playing it where it's 0-0. You know, the first goal could be very, very big tomorrow night. You know, I was down at training today. You know, all the boys looked well up for it. You know, Jackson and Stephen Murphy were, you know, you could see they're battling. They both want to start tomorrow night. You know, all the boys were really, they just seem so relaxed in training now as well, and they're certainly putting the effort in. It wasn't a long session today. But I just think tomorrow night, Paddy, it really could be, another cracker. And you know, I'm looking forward to calling it on Giants TV, with Shane. And I just think it's too tight to call. You know, we played a great game last Wednesday night in Cardiff, it'll be interesting to see that this time, well, maybe this time tomorrow night, 24 hours from now, how that ends up.
Davey, we spoke last week and mentioned how, you know, the Cardiff Devils have battled past us to reach the Challenge Cup final on a few occasions now. Surely we owe them one back.
Yeah, and we've got a slight advantage. We're leading and we're at home. The obvious thing for me that gives us the advantage, if we can maybe line match a wee bit better than we can when we're away, you know, I think we'll call it Myers' line, we'll call it Demarais' line. Obviously, Desi Shields, Saviano have struggled to get possession. Matt Myers is a fantastic face-off man, and he won over the last two games, not just last week, but the game before in Cardiff as well. He won the lion's share of possession in the face-off circle, which means that line of Desi Shields and Saviano, who have been so lethal of late, are chasing the puck from the start, and they're not getting the quantity of goal-scoring opportunities that perhaps, you know, allows us to get a better score in against them. So, you know, I think we'll try and line match Desi away from Myers at times tomorrow night and, you know, let Desi try and get a bit more control of the puck and let that line do what it's been doing. And, you know, it's going to be a difficult game. Let's make no mistake about it. They are going to come out and, as you say, they're a handling match no matter when you play them. You know, they're built more for the 200-foot ice rink this season than perhaps the big blue tent. They've got size all over the ice, but they have got speed to burn. But you know, it sounds like I'm blowing the Cardiff Devils up. We've got a very, very good team. Very, very good team. And I just hope that, obviously, that we come out on the right side of it. But it's another game like last Wednesday night. Well, obviously, I'll take a dull 0-0. But if it's anything like last Wednesday night, people that are coming to it are in for a treat.
Highlights of that game, which includes the anthem, includes the anthems, as they were disgusted, so disgusted by it, they want to show you it again and again. They come from Ice Time TV. We've got the link on at AVFTB. We come back to Elite League competition at the weekend.
There was a highlight that was actually missed on those highlights that were put up by Ice Time TV. Davey and I, right at the end, when Jim Vandermeer scored the fifth goal, and we were celebrating, as you do, and just to our left, a table came flying out of nowhere. I'm not too sure who it was through it, Paul Kelman, but it made such a clatter. David and I just sort of looked at each other and went, yes, get that at you. But, I mean, there was a camera which they'd set up on Ben Bynes. I think it might have been part of the coaching side of things from the Cardiff Devils. They'll have maybe one or two fist pumps after that game. They'll have to look back on as well.
Oh dear. Well, maybe if we speak to our friends at Ice Time TV, they could sort out those highlights for us. Right. Well, maybe not after the intro to this show. Let's come back to Elite League competition. While the Irish rugby team may not have done well in Scotland this weekend, the Belfast Giants did. They opened up on Saturday at Brayhead Shopping Centre to take on the Clan. They got a 5-4 win. That's a clean sweep for the Belfast Giants in Challenge Cup and Elite League competition against the Clan this season. Regards to scorers, the Clan were the fastest ones out of the block. Within 3.5 minutes, they were 2-0 up, Hammond and Pitt scoring for them. But before the period was out, the Giants battled back to a lead. 2 from Mike Forney and 1 from Mark Garside put them in a 3-2 advantage at the end of the first. Scotty Pitt came back and brought it to 3-3 before James Demarai restored the 1-goal advantage. In a bit of a back-and-forth battle, Hammond got his second of the night to make it 4-4 in the third. But with around 5 minutes to go, that man Mike Forney made his hat-trick and a 5-4 victory for the Giants in the shopping centre. With regards to the goalie, Stephen Murphy was in all weekend. 18 saves, 22 shots. Zakowski only played 20 minutes of the game for the Clan. 11 saves and 14 shots. Gary Russell came in. Of course, Gary Russell, who took a win at the SSC last season, but he made 15 saves from 17 shots. Your referee was Pavel Hallis. Says, I'll start with yourself. Like you mentioned it yourself there, another 2-goal deficit and another fight back for the Giants.
Again, well, it's always disappointing when there's no webcast and you have to follow it on Twitter, and the guys who were doing the Twitter updates did their best, and we were managed to, when we're seeing them going 2 down, again, we're starting to get to the stage now where we don't want to go 2 down every game, but you're not going to panic. And when I was interviewing Derek today, he said exactly the same thing. You know, they just sort of react. It's the way we've been reacting lately. And Mike Forney, who's been, again, had a quiet maybe 6-8 weeks, and he's starting to maybe get moving. He picked up a hat trick on Saturday against Brayhead. I thought he was excellent. Chris Higgins, 4 points, you know, 4 helpers in the goal. One or two of those assists were just sick. Like, I mean, the guy is just unbelievable. He's eyes in the back of his head sometimes as well. But, the power play, another power play goal against Brayhead. I thought from the highlights anyway, I thought we played very well. And again, Derek was saying that he thought we, even though they kept on coming back and they got the third goal and he just thought we controlled the game and sort of had another gear to go into when if it was required. So, it's great to do the sweep on Brayhead this year. I think it's 6-0 against them so far this season. And there's a potential to meet them in the playoffs, but I certainly wouldn't fear that.
Davey, you know, picking up on what Sis said there in regards to Forney and Higgins, the way they linked up, some brilliant finishing from Forney in that game, and James Demarai as well, both of them sort of threading the needle to find that one little spot in the goal to put it in and score for the Giants.
It's a confidence thing, isn't it? Isn't it funny how whenever things aren't going so well and you had the likes of, you know, Steve Thornton coming on the podcast a number of months ago talking about the guys, standard hockey speak, you know, gripping the stick too tight and the net gets smaller and all those things. And all of a sudden, whenever you're right in banging form, the net gets a wee bit bigger and you're a bit looser. And, you know, Forney stepped off the bench into a couple of big bombs over the last number of weeks. And it says, better to be late to the party than not turn up to the party at all. And I think he's done really, really well on Saturday night. They're a fantastic hat trick for him. That'll give him confidence going forward. Higgy's form over the last 2 months has just been incredible. His head's on a swivel. He sees things no one else does. And even for the game winning goal, Walter, you know, absolutely rips Peacock apart in his own defensive zone.
Yeah.
And then just puts on the jets, goes down the right wing, holds on to the puck, gives it to Forney, who makes an absolute mug of somebody as well, gives it to Higgy back to Forney back in the net. The guys are just all on the same page, especially that line of Higgy, Forney and Blair Riley. They've been, the prettiness of their goals has been something else. You know, Saviano, Desi and Shields have been a bit more direct, just going into the blue paint, getting the goals, doing the dirty work, getting goals that way, where Higgy and Forney and Riley are really painting, you know, pretty pictures with their goals. And it's entertaining. As I put a tweet out the other night, are you entertained yet? You know, 5 goals, 5 goals, 5 goals, and 8 goals in our last 4 games. You know, you can't be, I haven't, as you say about TFA questions, when things are going bad, you lose a battery in your phone every day answering TFA questions. When we're winning all these games, you can't get a question for love nor money. So, you know, we're having to change the show, Ryan, because we're doing so well.
The on the clan says, you know, that change of netminder after 20 minutes. Listening to Ryan Finnerty's comments after the game, he didn't mention it was due to any injury. So it seemed to be a tactical change. Didn't really work out.
I don't rate Sikowski at all. I'm going to say that now because we've already beat them six times. But, you know, when you even from the first game of the season, and you're looking at him going, this guy, I don't know where, you know, I'm sure he's won them games this season and then played well, but we've just had his number. And I thought Gary Russell did well when he came in, and we managed to, I think it was, he can see two goals out of the two periods. So, and again, when your backup comes in, you do support him that little bit more. So maybe Sikowski hasn't been getting the help that he should be getting, but I thought we thoroughly deserved the win. And again, Sikowski for me, I don't rate the guy, and I don't think he's, I don't think he's anywhere near the caliber of goaltender that the Brayhead clan thought they were getting.
Well, we're going to battle ahead here, boys, because we want to talk about scoring and netminding when we come to talk about the Caps in the next game. If you want to see the highlights of this game, you can go to Brayhead Clan's website and Clan, their own in-house station on YouTube, and we'll tweet it up on AVFTV. Also, they've travelled down the road to Edinburgh the next night to Murrayfield Ice Rink to take on the Edinburgh Capitals and walked away with an 8-3 victory, but it was a hard fought to begin with. Colin Shields opened the scoring for the Giants from James Demarai, but only a few seconds later, Hurtle scored and levelled things up. Shields stepped up once again to restore that lead before, in the second period, Hromas made it 2-2. Jonathan Boxall had to restore the lead once again, and once again, the Caps came back through tip-off. But in the second period, Higgins and Saviano, then the first goal of the season for Adam Keefe in the third period, and that road to 20 continued with goal number 2 for Matt Nickerson before James Demarai made it 8-3. Regards to goalkeeper Stephen Murphy, as I said, was in net all weekend long. He had made 22 saves from 25 shots in his 400th appearance for the Belfast Giants. And in the other net, Travis Fullerton, 27 saves from 35 shots. The referee was Neil Wilson. Davey, I'll start with using this one. Ding dong battle for 30 minutes, but then the Giants just streaked away.
Yeah, we just had a wee bit more in the tank, which was quite surprising considering our third game in a matter of nights all on the road. And we looked a bit tired at times in the Brayhead game. So it was good to see that we're still able to, you know, pour it on in the last sort of 30 minutes of the game whenever Edinburgh had kept coming back. They just wouldn't go away. You know, we got that go-ahead goal through Shields, what I was talking about in the previous game there. Shields going to the blue paint. Almost carbon copy with the power play goal from Cardiff to Edinburgh. The bomb from the blue line from Walser, redirected by Shields in front, to put us 2-1 up. And, you know, Edinburgh didn't go away. They kept doing it. And they came up with very similar goals all night. You know, big shots from the blue line that either, you know, blasted past Murphy, or there was, you know, tip off with a tip in front. And, you know, Higgy, once Higgy got that goal, fed lovely feed from Forney. Higgy goes in, takes the goalie out of net there, and you know, that just gives us a bit of confidence. And then all the good stuff happens. Adam Keefe steps in there, you know, a misplaced pass, absolutely bombs it in for his first goal of the season. Nicker scores exactly the same goals that he scored. I think if he scored 5 or 6 goals for the organisation, 90% of them have been a big bomb from the top of the red, you know, top of the right-hand circle. And then Desi just seals the deal with a lovely calm finish. Lovely stretch pass from Nicker. Desi just going in on net and just dropping the shoulder, going around him. Comfortable win in the end. Difficult first half hour. Edinburgh played really well. 642 in attendance is a, you know, that's a continual worry up and you know, Scotty Neil must be under pressure there again. Where's the money coming from? Because it, you know, at the minute he's just bankrolling something that seems to struggle to work to get people in. And you know, there's such a hockey community up there, and it's just a shame that people aren't coming out, because ultimately another entertaining game for the fans. Okay, if you're an Edinburgh fan, you're up against it and you've got well beat, but on the night, well-deserved win for the Giants. Get the 2 points, get back on the bus to Stranraer, and worry about more up, you know, games upcoming this week.
I don't want to rip into the organisation too much with regards to the Edinburgh Capitals, but I went to Murrayfield on Saturday for the Ireland-Scotland game, and walk past Murrayfield Ice Rink on the way into a match that was fully attended at Murrayfield, and the place was absolutely rammed. But you wouldn't know there was a game that next night at Murrayfield. There was an opportunity there where people are coming in and maybe staying for the whole weekend, that you may have picked up 2, 3, 4, 5 people, even, you know, going into the game, handing out flyers, putting a big banner on the outside of the rink. There was no indication that a team even plays there, never mind a game taking place, despite the fact that there was a major international game the day before in the stadium next door. Which, on the way in, I was speaking to some Scottish rugby fans who live in Edinburgh, and who on the way in, I was just saying about, and they hadn't even noticed the ice rink before, and they live in Edinburgh. You know, they hadn't even realised it was there. So it's a difficult thing for them, but you talk to maybe some other people, they'll say, you know, they could be doing a whole lot more. It is a real bone of contention. So as you say, Davies 642 at the game. Coming back to the game, says, you know, Davies mentioned it there, Kiefer coming up with his first goal, Nicker coming up with his second goal on the road to 20. But the fact that, you know, the Edinburgh Capitals are playing 3 games in 3 nights, they've taken the win against the Stars and the Flyers in the 2 nights up to it. They maybe just ran out of gas in the second 30 minutes of that game.
I think it did, Paddy, and they were down a couple of bodies as well. I mean, the big Russian, Vorobyev, I think you call him,
yeah.
He was missing, and then they lost Schultz halfway through the second period. I think he took a big slap shot to the hand as well. So, you know, the one thing about Edinburgh, you know, we talk about the struggles they have trying to fill the place. They always come up with one or two really, really quality players throughout the season. I mean, Stahl's put up reasonable numbers for playing for the Edinburgh Capitals this year. I really like the guy Milan, who was playing at the weekend as well. You know, he's really small, and he reminds me of Sacratini from the Cardiff Devils a number of years ago. McDougall's a good player, but again, once we got that fifth goal, which from memory it was on the power play. And they could call for too many men. And that was coming up towards the end of the second period. And then once we got that fifth goal, you knew it was all over. They were running out of gas. And our guys literally did, you know, step it up. And overall, the 8-3 victory probably doesn't reflect exactly what happened in the game itself, if I'm honest. But the Edinburgh Capitals, again, they can cause teams problems. And again, they mean 3 games in 3 nights is hard for anybody in this league. You know, when you're down to, I think it was only 14 outskaters, and obviously Travis Fullerton was facing all that rubber all weekend. I think overall, again, you know, the Giants had a very comfortable win.
I've got 2 points I want to make before we move on to talk about the player of the month. What I'll say is that if you want to see highlights of this, I'm not sure if they're up from Caps TV. If they are up, we'll tweet them up, but keep an eye out for that. 2 things I want to talk about. I'll come to you first of all, David, because you love to eulogise about Stephen Murphy and his 400th appearance for the club, 2 wins from the weekend. The guy is, well, almost back to his best.
I'm a total Stephen Murphy fanboy. I'm really privileged that whenever you ask me to come along and start doing, you know, a view from the bridge, and it wasn't always, you know, we didn't always have the access that we do now, and you get the chat to these people and see them maybe in practice a bit more often and watch their game a bit more closely. But I remember, it must be 2007, 2008 or something in what is now the Storm Shelter. Watching the Phoenix play the Giants, and in the men's room during a period break, when two guys were absolutely running Stephen Murphy into the ground, and I was thinking to myself, wish we had him. Now, we had Stevie Lyle at the time, who was a fantastic goaltender, but you kind of knew that Stevie Lyle's time at the club was probably coming to an end. He'd been there a few seasons, and I thought we'd probably go back down the import route, but obviously then Steve Thornton was able to bring Stephen Murphy in, and what a signing he's been for the club. You know, the numbers speak for themselves. You know, I put them up, I don't have them in front of me here, but I put them up the other night. You know, 400 games, over 10,000 shots, nearly 10,000 saves, .914 save percentage over those 400 games, and something like a 2.3 goals against average. You know, he gives us a chance to win more often than not. You know, okay, we'll go back through the 400 games, and I'm sure you'll find a few games that even he's taken heat on a view from the bridge for over the years, but I will, until Stephen Murphy decides that his time's up in Belfast, I will be a massive fanboy and beyond, because I think that he'll be the first goaltender whose number hangs at the West End there. You know, I think he's been a tremendous servant to British hockey, aside from the Belfast Giants. You know, 400 games for us, but how many other games for other clubs, home and abroad? Just he's just been, he's brilliant. And hearty, hearty congratulations from me, from AVFDB. And I'm sure there's, you'd go far to find a Belfast Giants fan who would have anything bad to say about him.
Hear, hear. And says, regards to the team as a whole, you know, I was just looking at the stats there. We've had 5 road games on the trot. We have 5 wins, 8 league points, a semi-final lead. But in those games, we've scored 28 goals with 14 different scorers on the board. That's a hell of a depth of scoring for the Giants.
It is, Paddy, and you know, when you're getting scoring from the back end, you're getting scoring from the fourth line, and that, you know, Blair Riley, I don't think Blair Riley got a point this weekend. And we've been talking about him all season, you know, so you've got other guys there who are stepping up when they're called upon. Boxy picked up another goal, just said Kiefer, Nicker, Mark Garcia got a goal as well, over the last week, and I just think that, you know, we're clicking at the right time, and really going to give ourselves a chance to basically go down the stretch here. I was looking back yesterday, Paddy, from the start of December, I think it's 21 games we've played, and we've lost 3. Now, you know, that is potentially championship-winning form, and if we can push that on and continue the same sort of percentages from now to the end of the season, this is going to be one hell of a ride.
Looking at some of your 3-word weekends that have come in, Amanda Patterson, epic Giant weekend. Michael Crawford, goals, goals, goals. John McConnell, jam was served. Poppy, Keefe's goal debut. Leslie, all lines scoring. Just picking up on that point there, it says. Giants comeback kings from Daryl Moore. So many goals from Call 75. Just everybody really positive. Carsey, bring on Cardiff. Stevie Thompson, keep on rolling. Thanks to everybody for your 3-word weekends. We're going to batter ahead here. Last week, we called for you to choose your player of the month for January, sponsored by Phonocab. And thanks to everybody who took the time to go to A View from the Bridge on Twitter and cast your vote. I'm delighted to share with you the results. With 13%, Ryan Martinelli. In third place was 21%, Chris Higgins. In second place with 26%, were the goalie tandem of Jackson Whistle and Stephen Murphy. But with 40% of the vote and January's of Youth in the Bridge Player of the Month, sponsored by Phonocab, is James Demarai. He'll be awarded Player of the Month at the next home game, and thanks to Phonocab for all his support in this award. Davey, well deserved.
Yes, he had an exceptional month, and especially that 5-goal weekend that he had, you know, probably tipped the scales, especially, you know, whenever it's against the likes of Sheffield Steelers, you have to applaud the effort there. A lot of really high quality candidates this month, and some boys that probably could have been and should have been candidates, but we have to shortlist it. And that goes back to what Sizz is saying from the start of December. You know, the quality and the number of points we've gathered, has been exceptional. Really, really good month for Desi, and he's continued on his good form into the start of February. Good game of Cardiff last week and a few points over the weekend as well. So congratulations to him. It's good to see that there's life in the old dog yet.
Absolutely, Sizz.
You know what? I think if we all look back towards the end of October, there, December, sorry, early November, we were all calling for him to,
yep,
you know, maybe get shown the door or maybe just take a back
ripping
seat.
Ripping into him, we were.
You know what, Paddy? I said at the time that, you know, he'd be harder on himself than any podcast person coming in to basically, you know, give their view. And he's made his either words. He's been absolutely brilliant. I still think that the goalies deserved a wee bit, maybe more than 26% of the vote, because I thought they'd been brilliant in January. But thorough congratulations to James Demarai. He was excellent all just January, and he's carried that form into February as well. And as I say, thank goodness Derek Walter doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, interview time. Well, we decided a bit of a change here. We've linked up with our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. Tomorrow or Wednesday at 1 p.m, they'll be on the Giants Facebook page doing a Facebook Live with our good friend here, Mr. Kitchen, who got the interview a few of the guys for there. It'll also be on the webcast, but he got the chat with, here's a few clips from that chat with both Derek Walser and Stephen Murphy.
Derek, we'll talk about the weekend first of all. Another 4-point weekend. Brayhead, and then Edinburgh coming out with the 4 points is, at this time of the season in the stretch, really, really important.
Yeah, you know, we're scoring lots of goals. I still think we got to tighten up defensively. But I think a lot of the mistakes coming in are, it's tired. It's just a lot of hockey, and that's the one thing I'm liking about the Challenge Cup schedule. Cardiff and I are both on the same page. We're playing the exact same amount of games, probably the same amount of travel. So, you know, going into Wednesday is going to be even.
Last week, we had a 5-4 result in Cardiff itself, and coming into this weekend with that goal ahead really could be crucial.
Yeah, it gives you, it gives you a little bit of breathing room, but not a lot. And, you know, honestly, I think it's better off being tied or down one or up one, I think, because that means keeps both teams honest. You're not going to get a lot of trick plays. You're not going to get a lot of things you're not used to seeing. Both teams are going to play the way they've been playing all year, hard and aggressive. And, you know, I think when you have those couple goal leads, sometimes you get into a shell and you think about protecting, and all of a sudden you go into the game with the wrong mentality. And we're going here to win. I want to keep the streak going. We're playing good hockey. So are they, but we got to continue to play the same certain way. You can't take a night off right now. And if we go there and play our A game and we end up getting the finals, fantastic job. As of right now, I'm proud of the guys. They're there. We're there. We're competing. It's what I wanted to get to at the start of the year, is an opportunity to get to the finals, and we're one game away.
Murph, another two games the weekend, another two wins, and you've played your 400th game. You faced some rubber in the last 7 or 8 years with the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, a lot of shots, a lot of games played. I was pretty surprised, actually. I actually didn't know until after the game, and I seen it was my 400th game. So yeah, I was really pleased with that. It's an honour to have achieved such a high amount of games for one team, and a team like this as well. It's been a pleasure being here.
And when you came to Belfast 8 years ago, did you think you were going to be here for that long?
No, not at all. To be honest, the way hockey is, it's usually moving team to team, country to country every year, and that's the way I was before I came here. And it shows the sign of how good a club it is, how good a city it is, and you know, this is where I call home now. So I didn't expect to say that, but yeah, it's the way it's been.
You seem to be picking up a Northern Ireland accent as well, are you?
I don't know about that.
4 points at the weekend. You know, we're on a roll at the minute. Everything seems to be clicking into place. And between yourself and Jackson Whistle, you were making real good numbers on the back end as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, we're on a roll. We're playing well. Both goalies are going. We're going well, and we're helping each other out as well with the games. And We just got to keep focused and keep doing what we're doing, and we'll keep putting pressure on, we'll keep doing the right things, and hopefully we'll keep going our way.
Obviously, big games on Wednesday night against Cardiff, but heading into the weekend, another Scottish two games, home to Dundee on Friday night, and then away to Fife. Two very difficult games as well.
Yeah, there's no easy games. The goaltending both those teams have, and the firepower that both teams have, is there's no easy games. We got to continue doing what we're doing, is playing our system, our game, not worrying what's going on in the league. And the second thing is, it's just focus in the moment. The moment is Wednesday. We sit there and look at the Scottish trips and look at what everyone else is doing. You're gonna watch it slip away. Right now, we're in the hunt. Let's just keep it there. Play a good game on Wednesday. Have another day off of rest, and then we'll focus on Dundee.
Coach, thanks very much for your time, and good luck this week.
Thank you.
Like I say, they are just clips from interviews with Derek Walser, Stephen Murphy, and there is an extended interview with Colin Shields. They'll be on the Belfast Giants Facebook page, Facebook Live, at 1 p.m. on Wednesday. They'll also be repeated as part of the webcast of the semi-final of the Challenge Cup. And thanks to our friends at Belfast Giants TV and the esteemed Mr. Kitchen for providing us with those. Right, let's have a look, as we normally do at this stage, around the league, and we'll open up with Dops. But we haven't had the Dops jingle in a while, so let's have the Dops jingle.
Dops. 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 Yeah, yeah. Dops. 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 Yeah, yeah.
There have been two incidents reviewed by the Department of Player Safety. Coventry Blaze player Garrett Klotz got 2+10 for checking from behind. It doesn't say what game that was in. That was an automatic review. And a requested review, which connotations for our own game against the Cardiff Devils. The Nottingham Panthers have requested a review on the Devils number 24, Andrew Hotham. I believe this was for a slash in overtime against Jeff Dimmon, that basically broke fingers on Dimmon's hand. Says, have you seen the incident?
I did. Didn't think it was up to much. I mean, you sort of play it happens quite a lot during a normal hockey game. You know, right, it was a naughty play, but 3-on-3 overtime period. Dimmon has come out injured, but I don't think it's up to much, to be honest, Paddy.
Well, I can say that we show how live this pod. We don't broadcast live, but sometimes information comes in live, Davey.
Yeah, just as we're talking there, the review from Dobbs has came out, and Hotham has had a 2-game ban levied against him. The EIHL Dobbs has given Hotham a match penalty for slashing, which is an automatic 1-game ban, and upgraded it with an additional 1-game ban. So he will miss the games tomorrow night, tonight if you're listening tomorrow, in Belfast, and Saturday in Coventry. And Todd Kelman has came out with a statement, and I think it's probably just worthwhile reading the statement quickly here. This is one of the heaviest suspensions handed out this season, explained Managing Director Todd Kelman. Equal to a player climbing the player's bench and punching a spectator. I saw the video, and Hotham definitely slashes the Panther player. It certainly wasn't malicious or had an intent to injure. It happened in 3-on-3 overtime in the middle of the play. From my understanding, the player has broken his finger, which we never want to see. But this is the kind of injury that happens all the time in hockey. Players slash each other's sticks and it hits sticks or gloves. It is part of the game. The resulting injury isn't something that anyone wants to see or have a player or team go through, but this was not an intent to injure. Andrew Hotham will not travel to Belfast tomorrow with his teammates to take on the Belfast Giants in the second leg. Now, wow. Mike Tuppensworth on it, you know, we have exactly the same situation happened to us earlier in the season. James Demarais slashed on the gloves late in the game against Coventry in Coventry. Similar injury. No ban. No even retrospective. That's up, I suppose, to the Belfast Giants to cite him, I suppose, for that. But it's happened, and there'll be slashes on the gloves, slashes on the stick 20, 30 times every single game. I don't think there was anything malicious in it from Hotham. A bit cynical on the 3-on-3 time, trying to stop the breakout, obviously, and he's been unfortunate. I think this is another one of that Dobbs roulette wheel that you just don't know what you're going to get.
Well, as they say, the Andrew Hotham is a big loss to the Cardiff Devils, a real key player to their lineup. But I can't help but think sometimes it swings in roundabouts. They got away pretty lightly with regards to the hit that Gleeson Fournier put on Alex Foster. And in this case, maybe they've been dealt pretty heavily with the slash on Dimmon. I think regards to the Belfast Giants, that's a positive, not only missing from the game against us, but also missing a league game. So we'll see how that transpires. And I can understand the Welsh already apoplectic with regards to Derek Welser, even more raging with regards to this from Dobbs. Let's move ahead. Player movements. Brayhead Clan and the Sheffield Steelers have moved to bring in some players, both from Fassa, the Fassa Falcons, the Italian team. The Brayhead Clan have brought in Stefan Della Rovere, and Sheffield Steelers have brought in Jeff Walker. Interesting for the Clan, because obviously they're looking for that top seeding by winning the conference. I don't think they've got a hope of winning the league at this moment in time, considering how they're playing. So they're obviously wanting to get a bit more firepower in and a bit more settled regards to winning the conference. Regards to the Steelers, well, they're looking to tool up for that final push for the league to retain a third league title in a row. Jeff Walker was one of the top scorers in the Fassa Falcons and a real key player in that lineup. No doubt he's coming in as a bit of a farer for them. Both interesting acquisitions, Simon.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at the stats from Jeff Walker last night. He's a big boy and he looked absolutely ecstatic, shaking the hand of Coach Thompson last night when he arrived into Sheffield. But I think he'll be a good addition to their lineup, and you know they've got the money to go out and bring guys in at this time of the year, and it'd be interesting to see how the things pan out, and down the stretch they've got a couple of games in hand. I think he's looking to play. I think they play tomorrow night as well.
Yes.
So it'd be interesting to see how it pans out, but again, you know, Sheffield Steelers have money to burn.
That's, you say about that photograph, it did remind me of the photograph. I couldn't find, I'm going to put it out there. If anybody out there can find it, tweet it to us as at AVFTV, the photograph of Tom Sestito, shaking hands with Ran Finnerty outside Sheffield Arena. It was absolutely hilarious because Sestito is absolutely massive in comparison to the small Ran Finnerty. Davey, your take on those two acquisitions by Brayhead and by Sheffield?
Pretty much just what you're saying, you know, transfer deadline, I assume, is coming up here, and players just are, teams looking to make a bit of a change just to spice up the end of the season. Obviously, Sheffield is still right in the hunt for the title and playoffs coming up, and the Challenge Cup semi-final as well. Obviously, you know, they've still an awful lot to play for, and, you know, Tomo, well known for it, just shaking things up in the changing room. You know, they let somebody go a number of weeks ago. Who was it? Never replaced them.
Masienko? No, Schultz.
Just a couple of weeks ago there. So, you know, they were that body down that they've now brought in, and he comes with a bit of pedigree, certainly been in good form, and that sort of that Italian team sort of crosses over a number of European countries, doesn't it? That league that they play in. So, you know, he's been playing against a pretty high standard there in European terms. His coast career hasn't been that great over the last number of years, but, you know, he'll come in and he'll obviously maybe take a few weeks to settle in, but once he gets going, I think he'll score goals for them, certainly.
That's a Surrett-style signing of bringing it, or Steve Thornton-style signing when he first came in. You're bringing in that player to try to push you all the way to the finish line and try to recoup, because obviously they're in this hunt. But we'll talk more about that later. Look at the results around the league. 4-point hauls were not uncommon this weekend. Cardiff and Sheffield both kept the pressure on in the title race with maximum points, while the Edinburgh Capitals took wins over Dundee and Fife to pick up 4 from the 6 they had available this weekend. Of course, they lost to ourselves on the Sunday. It was a tough weekend for the Storm, losing a battle against the Blaze in overtime before holding the lead in Cardiff, only to succumb to the league leaders late in the day and losing 5-3. As we said, the Blaze took the points in Manchester, but it was a far more physical affair on Sunday against the Steelers that had fans of both sides talking. The Steelers actually ran out easy victors, but not before tussles between Debian and Klotz, and even an incident that had Brian Stewart throwing punches, something that maybe should have witnessed him get a match penalty. He didn't, and the Steelers have not cited him on DOPS. Now, Davey, a cynic would say that's because the Blazers' next game is against the Cardiff Devils at the Sky Dome.
Nothing cynical about it. Those are the facts. He throws at least, from memory, 2 blocker punches into a player who's prone on the ground and being pinned by other players. Match penalty, referee standing right in the doorstep. Bit like when Belfast cited Clement earlier in the season, the referee was right on the doorstep and decided not to call it on the night, leaving it down to the club. Do they want to put the £250 out and have that roulette wheel of justice? You know, it's just, once again, we are not, DOPS is not looking after player safety. That's a dangerous play from Stewart. He should be sitting out for a couple of games, but Sheffield obviously don't want to weaken Coventry whenever they've got Cardiff up needs. It's not cynical. It's just a fact that we're no longer, it's not there looking for player safety. Incidents like that are brought up to DOPS. It shouldn't be up to a club. Simon Kirkham will have seen that incident. It'll be on Front Runner this week. He'll have seen it on the, you know, the clips. He will have seen that incident. He should be allowed to say, I've seen something in a game that I think is worthy of a ban. We're going to look at it. Simple as that. They should be allowed to do that. It's a nonsense.
Says it really affects the game. It really affects the sport, and it really affects the credibility.
It does. And I mean, one of the things about the incident itself is that referee Sewell, I think it was. How doesn't he see that? He didn't make a call. You know, I just don't understand, Paddy. You know, Davey's already, he's going into more of a rant than I will about DOPS, because I just think it's a joke anyway. You know, it is about player safety. You know, we talked last week about the incident with Nielsen and him getting cited for, you know, for jumping up into the crowd and throwing punches and squirting water over them. He's not getting any support from any security or plexiglass, which should have been there in the first place. I just think that the whole system with regards to DOPS needs reviewed. And obviously Todd Kelman's been a big supporter of DOPS over the last year, 18 months, maybe 2 years. and now he's basically got on the other end of it and ended up with a 2-game ban for one of his players. So it's a real challenge. I thought I fully agree with the both of you about, you know, the head of referees, Simon Kirkham, should be allowed to just go, there's an incident, he should be cited for this. But for whatever reason, I just don't get.
The big story of the weekend came in Kirkcaldy on Sunday night. The Panthers, who on Saturday night watched on as a 3-1 lead was eroded by the Devils and Aslan and Bordalo scoring before Bentivoglio took the win in overtime. And to the frustration of the players, fans and coaching alike, they witnessed deja vu in a much more dramatic fashion against Fife. They were leading again, but with 2.5 minutes left to go in the game, Nielsen's side surrendered 2 goals in that time, one from Cameron with 5 seconds left to force overtime. And midway through that overtime, Matt Siska sealed an amazing come from behind win to set the tone for the evening that the New England Patriots continued in Houston. An outstanding win, says, for the Fife, but what on earth, you know, if you're Corey Nielsen coming away from both those nights, you've got 3-1 advantages against, okay, the league leaders, but then you've got Fife who are fighting for a fourth place. Try saying that after a few beers. Fife who are fighting for a fourth place against probably the Nottingham Panthers and are able to come from 3-1 down at home, pull their netminder, score those two and then take the winner. Nielsen must have travelled back down to Nottingham wondering what on earth is going on.
Yeah, and you know, we know that it's tough to win the game in Fife because we've had some real battles up there and lost a couple this season as well. You know, Fife are really good in their own barn, Paddy, and they play a system where, you know, they just don't give in again in their own barn. They're always give out there and trying to give 110%. You know, don't get me wrong, I thought it was brilliant, you know, Nottingham winning 3-1 and losing 4-3 in OT. I thought it was great. But it's one of those things where it's, you know, Shane Owen always gives Fife a chance to win. And his forwards come up and scored the goals at crucial times to basically get it into the OT period and get the winner.
David, I'm sure you didn't take any sort of humour from what took place in Fife. Okay. Let's have a look at the league table. As we said, Cardiff Devils are still leading the way. 38 games played, 59 points. The Belfast Giants only 1 point behind, 39 games played. So Cardiff still have a game in hand. But don't forget, we still have to play Cardiff twice at home and twice away. Sheffield, they're 51 points and they've got 2 games in hand on us, 1 game in hand on Cardiff. Nottingham, 42 points. With 1 point behind is Fife. Brayhead, Manchester, Coventry, Dundee and Edinburgh make up the rest of the league. In other, just one little point of other news I want to bring up that, I'll just throw this on you, gents, because it's not on the agenda. In the last couple of days, we've seen Stevie Lyle post up a picture of Wembley Arena asking for sponsorship for a KHL team. Now, this has been rumoured over the last wee while. My own take on it is that, you know, obviously the KHL have these 3-year contracts that can possibly come in and, you know, sit in various cities. They've done it in Prague. There's a rumour of them moving on from the team in Zagreb and having 3-year contracts. And London was one of the markets they wanted to go into. How this benefits the Elite League? I think this could be a precursor to an Elite League team being in Wembley Arena, because what you do is you get the KHL to come in with all their money and all their razzmatazz, fit out the Wembley Arena with ice, have their 3 years, and after 3 years, in waltzes somebody like Neil Black with right now that this has all been installed and the KHL have gone, we've got all these facilities to use and we can have an Elite League team in London. But regards to the KHL, Davey, is it really worthwhile having that team in London?
I think there's certainly be a novelty factor. I think there's a lot of expats, you know, Russians and whatever other nationalities might, you know, play in that KHL. Living in London, I think there's definitely a hockey market there. Certainly seems to be, you know, in times gone by, the Knights obviously were able to pull in big crowds and maybe not so much the Racists, but, you know, it would certainly be novelty for us. You know, would I go to maybe one or two games a season? Maybe. You know, I'm Belfast Giants centric as opposed to a hockey fan.
Pavel Datsyuk,
myself. yeah, the opportunity to see Pav and the flesh again. I've only been fortunate enough to see him play once out in Long Island against the Islanders, and they got beat 6-0. So that wasn't such a good night. But got to meet him, which was fantastic. I think there'd be a novelty factor. I think they would struggle to create a fan base, because ultimately the fans would know that they're in for a short dip. You know, they're only coming in three seasons and then you're going again. And so I think you're looking more at the casual sports fan in London and can the price it accordingly? Well, obviously they're allowed to seem to be able to watch in the Apprentice. You can seem to charge whatever you want for whatever you want in London, and people will pay it. So, you know, I think there'd be fans out there, sports fans out there, that would go along and watch it. And would it wear off before the 3 years? And is that why they only do 3 years? Because they're going into casual markets where you can't really build a fan base as such for a club, but you build a fan base for the sport. And then obviously the likes of Neil Black would like to come in and build off the back of any success the KHL had.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like Lev Prague were only there for, I think they were only there for 3 years, but they're in a market that was dominated by fans of Sparta and fans of Slavia. So the Sparta and Slavia fans didn't go en masse to Lev Prague games, despite the fact they had, what do you call your big guy plays for Boston?
Char,
yeah. During the lockout, I think Char went and played for them. You know, and it didn't develop into as big a crowd as they wanted to. A 3-year deal to go to London may have its benefits. I spoke to Andy French over the NCAA weekend, and he seemed to think that it does have its benefits, the fact that they would get the crowds. There are that many people, you know, Russian investment that would come in to be part of it and want to be part of it, that it would fund itself for 3 years. But at the end of that, the opportunity to basically take over a facility that is ready built by the KHL money and put an elite league team in there is one that more or less I think the elite league really wants. Sis, would you go down to a KHL game?
Yeah, I definitely think I would. You know, I love watching all sorts of hockey, but I just think I don't think I'd obviously make it over every weekend, but you'd look to try and get over a couple of times throughout that season. And whether or not would it make the EIHL better? I don't know.
I don't think it would have an effect.
Well, is it going to help British hockey? You know, that's one of the questions that needs to be asked as well. You know, obviously with the EPIHL, well, nobody knows what's going to happen with that at the minute, and potential of Guildford and obviously Milton Keynes coming into the EIHL next season. It's a question where it's very important what's going to happen down the line for Team GB and the development of hockey UK-wide. Mm-hmm. Where we are at the minute, you know, there's 14 imports. If you look at the Belfast Giants, British players, you know, Colin Shields, Mark Garside, Stephen Murphy, Toy and Boxy, you know, you've got these guys who you five more or less, four or five on every team. And if you put the accumulated them together, they're heading into the GB World Championships in Belfast in 12 weeks time. You know, these guys aren't getting any younger, and there's not a dearth of quality younger players coming through and getting their chances at the elite league level. I mean, if you look at the weekend, Edinburgh had the kid, Harry Ferguson. When Schultz was without the game, he came in the third and got a couple of shifts. You get Tyler Plews in Edinburgh. I think he's only 21. We need to be bringing more kids through and giving them the opportunities to play at that level, because if you don't, they're not going to get better. They're not going to have the confidence to get out there and basically put a shift in when they get their chance. Mm-hmm. So I just think that it's the elite league needed to step up and help Ice Hockey UK in developing the kids at that age, 16, 17, 18 years of age.
I don't think anybody disagrees with that. I think that's a case of, from top to bottom, the pyramid system within the UK game is fraught. It was problems. But regards to the KHL, I just see this being sort of like this little standalone, a bit like NFL. It comes in, it plays, it goes away. Because I'm not going to go to Vladivostok to watch an away game, you know. I think it's just going to be these little things. But we'll see. I do think it's going to be a precursor to an elite league team. I do think once they leave, there you have a ready-made rink, and in walks Neil Black or whoever, and they start from there with the facilities already built. But we'll see. Time for the fan agenda. In association with Belfast Giants TV, we asked you, what should we be looking at? A few questions have come in. We'll start with Matthew Patton. After the weekend's results, has it turned into a three-team race for the league title, David?
Yeah, I think that Nottingham are just a wee bit too far, especially with the form they're showing. You know, their form's so up and down. They're maybe at 500, 600 over the last sort of 10 games. So I think that they're just, like, they're 9 points back from Sheffield, albeit with a game in hand, so say 7 points back. But then, you know, that's a further eight to Cardiff to overhaul the top of the league. And there's only sort of 14, 15, 16 games maybe left for some teams. I think that, you know, they asked them to, it's more than their, so they're 42, 50, they're 17 points behind. They need to come, a point a game needs to be dropped by the teams at the top for not in the overhaul. So I think they're out of it. I think it is a three-horse race. And how tight is it? You know, even when you look down the goals, 140 goals, 135, 140, and 99 against 100 against 96, it is so tight. There's nothing between these three teams. There's been nothing between them all season. The games against each other are going to be bigger than, you know, anything over the last number of years. It could come back down to this final weekend away in Cardiff for those two teams. I'm not sure. I think Sheffield are maybe away in Scotland that weekend. So another phenomenal end to what's turning out to be a very exciting season.
I'll run in, says, I'll come to you with the same sort of question, but also run in Ryan Mayer's question with it, who says, you know, who do you think is the most favourable run-in, Belfast, Cardiff or Sheffield, coming into the towards the end of the season? Because obviously that's going to have a real effect.
It is, and again, Nottingham have got their part to play with regards to their position. They'll want to get home ice for their playoff game on the Sunday, well, whatever day they prefer to pick on their home game. But I do think they're out of the league title race, but they've got a big, big part to play against Cardiff and Sheffield. We've still got to play Nottingham as well. We'll be playing here next week, I think.
Yep.
So our doubleheader actually here, it's Friday and a Sunday in March as well. So it's not over till the big girl gets her lungs going, but we'll just have to wait and see. And I just think from a Belfast Giants perspective, concentrate on our own games. Yeah. And, you know, if we win our own games from here to the end of the season, we're going to win the league.
That big girl saying it won't be Catherine Jenkins, though. Welsher won't have it. Doesn't like the Welsh. One from Chris O'Neill. Davey, what's the most effective D-line at the minute regarding less goals against? We seem to be leaking them at the back. Now, I thought that's a thing that's a bit harsh considering, but we have only had one goal games against like the likes of Cardiff. We had one goal game against the Brayhead Clan. We're tight running against the Sheffield Steelers. Are we leaking at the back? Has that been overly harsh?
I think that's been overly harsh, especially when you're going and scoring. Whenever we weren't scoring goals, and we were tighter at the back. When you play a more expansive game of hockey, you're a little bit looser at the back to start. And, you know, let's look at who we conceded the goals against. The Sheffield Steelers, four goals. One of the hottest and best attacking forces out there. You know, Fredder, Wah, Armstrong, all great talents. Four goals away to the Cardiff Devils is no disgrace, especially when you can go and stick five past the other end. They come every line. We've talked about Cardiff's depth the whole season. And, you know, playing a bit of run and gun, playing, you know, third game in 5 nights in Edinburgh and conceding three is hardly a disaster, especially when you know you've got the offense to, as it turned out, score 8 goals. So I think I don't think defense is a problem. When you look at the overall, you know, we've conceded 100 goals in the league this season. The only teams that have conceded less, Sheffield, have played a few games less, 2 games less, and it's only 4 goals. So it's comparable, and Cardiff have played 1 game less and only conceded 1 less goal. So I think the comparisons between the three teams is there. I don't think that we have necessarily a leaky D, especially when you look at the goaltending stats as well. Jackson Whistle, Stephen Murphy, 1-2 in the league. I think we're okay.
Simon?
Agreed. I just think that where we are, I just think it is very harsh on the way we're playing. You know, you've got the best two goalie save percentages in the league. No, I don't agree with that point at all.
Our final question comes from our good friend Mark Hitchcock. That's two TFA questions in a row for him. Very easy one. Given the 400 games for Stephen Murphy, what's your favourite Stephen Murphy moment? David?
Playoff final 2010. I think, obviously I would go, well, even maybe go one further than that and say the playoff semi-final in 2010, the shootout, where Jeff Suez comes up with the brilliant two shootout goals to put us into the final, mm-hmm. but Stephen Murphy stones and you know, puts us into that final. That, you know, playoffs are, what I'm saying, he's carried us the leagues, and you can't specify one game in a championship season, you know, 80s season, Doug Christensen season, you know, British goaltender, I'll never win the league, copyright Dave Sims, who was very magnanimous this week and came out and said, at the time when he said it, he didn't believe it could happen. Stephen Murphy elevated his game to a level that was comparable with any imports game and carried the Belfast Giants. So he conceded that when he said it, he might have thought it was right, but he turned out to be wrong. So fair play to him for that. But, you know, if you're going to pick a one-off game in that 8-year, 9-year career, whatever it's been, 400 games, for me, the semi-final of the playoffs, 2010, that penalty shootout to carry us into the final, and then we were able to go on and win it with that goal from Evan Chevrolet.
Simon.
I think it's yet to come, mate.
Oh, nice.
Nicely put.
I think it's yet to come. I think Stephen Murphy's still got a lot left in the tank. There's a lot of big games between now and the end of the season. And I think, you know, if he gets to the end of this year with a trophy or two or three, that he'll basically be absolutely jumping. What he's done for our franchise in the last 8 years that he's been here is absolutely outstanding. Davey's already, you know, gave him a pat on the back earlier on and pumped his tires. I don't think a guy needs his tires pumped. I can't. He's been the best goalie, the best British goalie ever, in my opinion. You know, that's including some very, very, very good goaltenders. You know, Maury Hansen was excellent back in the late 80s and 90s. You know, you had a couple of the other guys, the Bernie McCrone, who, you know, played Fife and Murrayfield, and real, real quality goaltenders. There's been other. Stevie Lyle was excellent goaltender in his time, but I don't think, and if you look at every single British goaltender, over the last 30 years of hockey, Stephen Murphy for me is the number one.
My one has to be, well, coming back to what you said yourself, David, you went for the semi-final. It was the final for me. It's that save that he puts on Boom 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 Brer, that allows Evan Chevrolet to go and win the actual playoff title. Absolutely stunning, and I say he more or less performed at a high level all weekend long then, and since then he's been probably the best netminder the Belfast Giants have ever had with regards to longevity and performance. You know, he gives us an ability to win every night, and this year he's just his form's come right back to where it was, and I liked your answer, Susan, and I hope that you are right. Thanks to everybody for your questions. Keep them coming through the week at AVFTB on Twitter. #TFA. Weekend preview, Davey's favourite part of the podcast. We'll do things a little bit differently. We'll whiz through these. Of course, I'll give you details on the games we have to play between now and when we next speak on Wednesday night. As you all know, it is the second leg of the Challenge Cup semi-final against the Cardiff Devils, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. The score is 5-4 to the Belfast Giants, and we will take it from there. If you can't get down, Belfast Giants TV will have the game, as they will have on Friday night when the Stars come in for their second game in about 3 weeks. For the Belfast Giants against the Stars at the SSE Friday at 7 p.m. Elite League competition. Before on Sunday, bit of a day off on Saturday. And then the Sunday, we travel over to Kirkcaldy to take on the Flyers at 6:30 on Sunday evening at the Fife Ice Arena in Elite League competition. So I'll start off by asking yourself, Davey, of those three, which is the toughest opponent and what are you expecting?
They want to be cliche and say that, you know, the next games are our next toughest game, you know. Okay, we can probably look at the three games a bit easier. I think the Cardiff Devils is going to be tough. Different format, cup competition, where one goal up, it depends whether we play a slightly different format of what we would from, or whether we just go and treat it as another game. And, you know, Dundee struggling, obviously, at the minute. I think that Fallon didn't play again at the weekend. Craig Holland, no mug like, but I think they'd always rather have their number one goaltender, especially, you know, Fallon was probably supposed to be a wee bit better than he has been over the season, but obviously injury and illness and stuff has kept him out of the lineup at times, and Fife is a difficult place to go to. Sis talked about it earlier in the show, and we've obviously talked over the last number of weeks about the rambunctious sort of fans and how close they get the players and, you know, the intimidatory atmosphere there. So all we can do is literally, I know go cliche again, is worry about Wednesday night and trying to keep the form going and the belief going. And we come out of that on a positive side, and then you roll on the Friday and you just try and keep the positivity going. And there'll be a setback somewhere along the line here. You know, hockey is cyclical and you go through peaks and troughs, and it's how we deal. You know, should it be a game setback or should it be a goal or two setback? We've proven over games here that when we go a couple of goals down, we deal with that setback in a very calm manner. We stick to our systems and we go back to work and we go back into the offensive zone, and we've started to get a lot more shots on. I must do that stat actually over when I'm doing the stats later, still the games the weekend to stick into the XLs. But, you know, number of shots fired on target over the last, say, 2 months as compared to the previous 2 months. I'll give you that privately later on. But, you know, I think that's what we just have to do. We have to keep going to the blue paint, and we have to keep playing simple.
Says the Giants form, they're in a rich vein of it. Can that be retained against these three games?
It can, probably. You know, one at a time, and then, you know, the toughest of the three games for me is just definitely against the Cardiff Devils. That game tomorrow night, I'm really looking forward to it, and hopefully we can come out on top and get to the final in Cardiff against. Well, it doesn't really matter who we face. But, you know, it's a big, big game tomorrow. I just think, you know, if we win that tomorrow night, the guys will just take more and more confidence from it, and they keep on the W's coming along and push on to the next game against Dundee. Davies touched on it there. You know, Craig Holland, I watched the Sheffield Dundee game or from my Sheffield the other night, and, you know, Craig Holland was excellent. And to be honest, I actually had to on mute because I was watching or listening to we're watching the tweets coming in as well from the Giants game. So I had it on mute and I'm sitting going, that's a great save by Fallon. I didn't even know it was Craig Holland until I basically was looking at the tweets coming through. So it's, hopefully the Fallon's out again at the weekend. Again, you'd certainly much rather face a backup in this league than the starter.
You sure? Spanswick? Russell? Do you want me to throw up some words? Stevie Foe?
Well, again, there's some, don't get me wrong, there are some good guys there's within the league for backups, don't get me wrong. I mean, look at our backup. Who is it? Is it Murphy? Is it Whistle? You just don't know. So it's, Cardiff tomorrow night, number one, that's the game to get the guys to concentrate on, and then we'll move on to Friday and then on the Sunday.
Any other?
I think the most important stat on Friday night is I had a little side bet with Mark Lefebvre at the start of the season, a beer per win. And as it stands, it's 3 beers to 2 beers to me. Last sixth and final game of the regular season, I'm hoping that the Giants go on to win, so it'll be 4 beers to 2 to me at the playoffs at Hooters there, and Lefebvre will have to crack that famous wallet of his out and then buy the beers.
It comes in the back of a truck, doesn't it?
Probably.
Any other games from the weekend stand out for you, gents, from across the league? We got a couple of big ones, especially the Cardiff Devils are taking on the Nottingham Panthers, and the Panthers take on the Steelers as well in league competition.
Paddy, if I'm, I'll let Ciz go on a second here. Just to come back on something he said, I literally don't care who plays who at the weekend. I don't watch it. I'll see the scores at the end. But as Simon says, we just concentrate on the Belfast Giants games. And honestly, that's the view I take all the time. I don't, unless I'm having a wee punt, I couldn't tell you who's playing who at the weekend.
All right, Simon?
I'm exactly the same. I couldn't care less. You know, it's about...
Glad I asked this question, though. Yeah.
Well, do you know what, Paddy? What do you think?
I agree with you to an extent that, you know, it's all within the Belfast Giants control, and I want to see the Belfast Giants take those wins. But I do keep an eye out, like I did last week, with regards to the Cardiff Devils and see how they're doing. I'd like to see, you know, you always want the things to be just a little bit easier if it's possible. And with the Devils taking on the Panthers, you know, they took one hammering, but they've done relatively well in Ice Arena Wales, so on Sunday I'd like to see maybe them do take a few points off Cardiff. But likewise, if Nottingham might be the kingmakers in all of this, if they can take points away from them, but hopefully not from us. But yes, anyway, let's move on. Then those games, like I said, Cardiff Wednesday night, 7 PM at the SSE Arena. Dundee Friday night at the SSE in league competition, and the Flyers away Sunday, 6:30 p.m. at FIA. There should be a webcast of that. We'll tweet it up and 24/7 do a decent webcast on that. Any other business?
Yes, Paddy, I have a little bit of business. Obviously, last year, it's been going for a lot of years, but last year, our very own Simon Kitchen took part in the Forum All-Stars. There's the 2017 series will not be long to its round. Again, David Grant doing fantastic work and raising an incredible amount of money for a lot of charities. But a charity that a lot of Northern Ireland boys are playing for, Dreams Come True, and I said we'd give them a shout-out. Liam McSharry, obviously of Hockey Gods fame, has a fantastic T-shirt available on his website. I have to promise them I'll tweet the link out there. He's selling those. All the profits are going towards Dreams Come True. But he's also joined in the team this year by new Belfast Giants supporter, Jerry Walters, and Ross Gowdy, James Glover, obviously the captain, Joe Micklem, Joel Neal, and Stevie Adams, all making up that Dreams Come True team. Your Facebook feeds, your Twitter feeds are going to be packed over the next 3 or 4 months with, not begging, but people requesting that we support this charity. And, you know, if you have got a few spare shekels, throw them the guys' ways. It's fantastic that hockey is able to do something like this. Always never ceases to amaze me how hockey guys come together to make money for people that are less fortunate than them. And, you know, credit that these boys are able to do this. It's a brilliant weekend by all accounts from Says OK. You can go to Portugal quick, cheaper than you can go to Wales. But a great weekend, great fundraising, and support those guys. And we'll tweet out the details later, especially on those T-shirts.
You enjoyed yourself last time, Says, didn't you?
Had a great time. Can't remember much about the hockey.
Here's Joe Neal.
That was Joe Neal. It was funny. Pop World King. But it was a great weekend, and Davey's already said it. You know, the people involved, the committee for all the different charities that were recognised that weekend in Cardiff at the end of July. It's absolutely phenomenal, the amount of money was raised. Now, it doesn't matter if you only raise £150 or £200, it's all going towards a great cause. We were lucky enough, there was one of the young girls who the money was being put towards, Maya, in Cardiff. She came down and came into the dressing room and she's had her troubles and now she's learned how to skate, and it's just phenomenal. You know, she came down, and that's all came from just watching the guys going out there and skating, or questionably skating, for that weekend. And it's a brilliant weekend, but just this year, it's the way it's fallen with holidays for Jasmine and what have you, I just can't make it. So I would really like to be involved this year, but I'm sure the guys who are out there. And just touching on what you were adding to what you were touching on there, Davey, James Glover was basically asking for any potential raffle prizes, which they're going to try and put together. And so if anybody's out there, you've any old jerseys that you're not really using or not wanting, and you can get it signed and give it to James for a raffle prize, then please put it into the pot for Dreams Come True, because it's a very, very worthwhile cause.
Well, forward it, I sought after a view from the bridge mug. No?
I think, is there a couple left?
I don't know. Well, I'll have to dig in and see. On that note, we'll one thing just also to throw in on that same sort of vein. I saw tweeted up the other day that it's 2 years since the Tom Simpson night at the SA, or the Odyssey Arena, as it was then. Laura Small and Kiefer and all doing a lot of work for that lad. And, you know, he went off to London and now he's back looking a lot healthier he presented the last Player of the Month to Alex Foster, and a great cause and a great lad, and it's always great to see, you know, the Giants doing so well in that. So yeah, it all shows you the hockey community can rally together and do some fantastic things.
Paddy, I was just sitting thinking about that one. Says was speaking about Dreams Come True there, and the Tom Simpson. Obviously, Laura tweeted out earlier about it being 2 years, and I seen this week wee Blakey on his Twitter doing his reading. And he has set the bar high here for the likes of Dylan and Tom. And I want to see what these guys have got in their locker, because it's fantastic to see wee Blake doing so well and so determined and really, really good in your reading, mate. So well done from every one of you from the Brits. Keep it up. And as I say, I want to see everybody else out there. Send us, link us in on the tweets. We want to see what you have got in your locker.
Here, here. Here, here. One more thing. I'm just having a quick flick through Twitter. It goes back to the suspension of Andrew Hotham. Obviously, he will not play on Wednesday night against the Giants, and he has an additional game suspension against the Coventry Blaze. And it was in that press release, if you listened to it earlier on, from Todd Kelman. He was saying, you know, it's got the same tariff as a player who went into the stands and punched a fan. No, it didn't. Eric Nielsen got 3-game suspension, not 2-game suspension, and that's been highlighted by our good friend Neil Russell, who puts that down as hashtag alternative facts.
What they're saying there, I mean, I don't know if Andrew Hotham, because he's suspended, I'm sure he's more than welcome to come and join us for an interview on the on Giants TV tomorrow night if he's over.
Yeah, he should fly over, support his team, not be left behind, you know. Anyway. Yeah, that's it, boys. Thanks to Belfast Giants TV and to Stephen Murphy and to Derek Walser for the interviews earlier on. Thanks to everyone who's for your 3-word weekends and your fan agendas. Thanks to you two, gents. Looking forward to this weekend.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow night to start off with. Mm-hmm. And I think this week, as I say, tomorrow night really could be a big, big, big result.
Yeah, looking forward to tomorrow night. I'll look forward to Friday when Friday comes around, but I'm pretty excited about tomorrow night. I'm hope that the kids go to bed nice and early so Daddy can sit down with the iPad and watch it and cheer along. But
big game tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena against the Cardiff Devils, and then, of course, the Stars on Friday and away to the Flyers on Sunday. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time. On a view from the bridge. All together now, Welsh National Anthem. Na 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 na